Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I had kind of an ulterior motive to teaching the or singing with the kids that song, because I was thinking this week that remembering that growing up in the city, not a big city, but certainly not in a rural area, I had no idea what a bushel was when I was a kid. In fact, I can remember thinking when I was a kid that I thought perhaps a bushel is just another word for bush. And so a bushel was a bush, which made it really complicated when we went to sing that song and we said that we would hide the light, or what I kind of imagined as a little flame, underneath a bush. Because, of course, you put a light or a flame underneath a bush, especially in the drier parts of the season, and you have a mess, don't you? But then my little brain kept working. Imagine that. My little brain kept working, and I thought, I know what they're talking about. What they're talking about is you put the light under the bush, so the bush burns up when you say no, and then your light's shining again. Obviously, in actuality, that has nothing to do with any of how that's supposed to work. But, as it turned out, I still didn't quite understand it. Because even as I learned that a bushel, which of course is a unit of measure, but it's also the name of the basket that that unit of measure represents, that if you took a basket and you put the light underneath it, why would anybody do that? I didn't quite understand how that worked. And then E.T. came along with his little light at the end of his finger, and everything was lost, and I didn't know what was happening. But of course, we hear these words today. We hear this word, let your light so shine. I think I was probably in seminary before I recognized how that those words that came from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, were also the words that we proclaim when a person is baptized. When a grown-up person or a child or a little infant is baptized, and we present that candle as a representation, not just of one light that will shine, but the multitude and the abundance of light that will shine through this one who is baptized. An admonishment to let that light shine so that all may see the good things that you do and give glory to God in heaven. But what is Jesus talking about this when, in the midst of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus interjects not just this word about light and letting your light shine, but also this image of salt and how we are to be the salt of the earth? I think it's helpful to recognize that these words of Jesus come right after the words that we heard last week, where Jesus pronounces blessing, and not blessing on the rich, but blessing on the poor and the rejected, blessings on the merciful, and the ones who wait to be accepted in. Jesus announces that these are the ones who are blessed. Jesus announces that these are the ones who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then these aren't just words of don't worry, be happy. These aren't just simple words of Jesus saying, you know, I hope things are better tomorrow. Jesus isn't just coming to these people and saying, I know things are tough today, but if you try a little harder, you might get better. That's not what Jesus is doing here. Rather, Jesus, I think, by announcing that these ones are blessed, is actually assigning discipleship to these people who are poor, these people who are rejected, these people who are outcast. Jesus is actually announcing that these, in addition perhaps to the named disciples of the gospel text, the Matthew and the John and the Peter and James and Andrew, in addition to those who, by the way, are nowhere to be seen by the end of the story, these ones, these who are poor, these who are rejected, these who are cast out, these are the ones who are true disciples. and who will be the ones that follow Jesus to the end. When Jesus announces this blessing, Jesus is announcing this discipleship. And it's not for the rich, and it's not for the powerful, it's not for those of high status and those who are respected in society, but rather it's for the poor and the meek and the grieving and the hopeless and the humble and the forgotten and the rejected. Discipleship, perhaps because it will be received by these, is bestowed upon them by Jesus. In effect, Jesus is baptizing these people. There's no water involved in this baptism, but Jesus is baptizing them nonetheless. Jesus is bringing them into the family of the followers of Jesus and the ones who will inherit the kingdom. And Jesus is pronouncing that to them, then, let your light shine. What light? What light for these new baptisms? The light of their power and their status and their success in life? The things that they'll be able to do with their lives because they are so great and glorious? No. The baptism and the light of their poverty, of their humbleness, of their grief when they were forgotten and rejected. This is the baptism. This is the kingdom of God that Jesus is announcing for these. Jesus doesn't care about the flavor of strength and intelligence and wealth. Rather, Jesus is interested in the flavor of sharing what we have and helping one another and giving to others out of the abundance that God has given us. I recognize that so many times, and maybe you've seen yourself in this position, I know I've been in the position of both saying it and receiving it, but that instinct of us to say, no, I can't do that. Maybe it's doing something here at church. Maybe it's reading the lesson or getting up and sharing a little bit about our relationship partners in the community. Maybe it's serving communion. Maybe it's giving a little bit more in your tithe. I meet so many people that say, no, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not good at that. I can't teach confirmation. I wouldn't know the first thing about what to teach. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. My faith isn't that strong. We all have said at some point in time. And yet I'm here to tell you today that it's not about how strong we are. It's not about how good we are or how intelligent we are or what kind of status we've achieved, even in the scope of our congregation. Do you think that the people that began and continued to serve in all of these places in our community that we've already talked about today do so because they feel like they're strong and they're powerful and they can make a difference in the community? I say no. I say they do it because they are interested not in power and strength, and they're certainly not doing it because they're wealthy. But they and we do these things because of our humility, because of our willingness to embrace weakness and share in partnership with one another, not just in this room, but in our community as we step out in faith, being willing to be the power of God through our lives in our community. So let your light shine. Sing that song to yourself in your head this week. Let your light shine. Shine with generosity and love and partnership. Don't squelch that light with your own sense of greed and pride. Don't squelch it, certainly, with some sort of false message that you're not good enough. Because Christ is the only good that you need. Christ who allows us to take those lights and shine them boldly in our world so that all may see the good works that God is doing in our world and give glory. Amen.